Today is the 26th of November 2006. We are going to the lesson number 8 of the second course of the popular Buddhism, the four methods of conversion. Trước khi vào bài học, mình chắp tay lên niệm cùng gia đức bổn sư ba lần.
Nam mô bổn sư thích ca mâu ni Phật. Mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam Mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật.
The four methods of conversion. First, whenever you see the word conversion, you'll be surprised, because usually in Buddhism we do not try to convert anyone. There is no conversion in Buddhism, because Buddhism is a religion which is based on the self-enlightenment, that is, self-recognition of the truth. It is not due to someone to stuff it down your throat, like we said many times before about the Kalama Sutra. So whenever we see the conversion, we'll be a little bit surprised. Because why conversion? Conversion does not mean really convert, that is, to change one's religion to another one, but try to make them, to let them become enlightened. There are some way in here which might appear to you a little bit strange, but it's not really, because we're going through the Bodhisattva way, that is, the Mahayana. Not the Hinayana, that is the small vehicle. We're going through we're going with the big vehicle. And the big vehicle implies that we try to get the salvation for a lot of people, not only for us only. Introduction: to benefit sentient beings in the practice of bodhisattvas, no better method than the four methods of conversion. So you see, to benefit the sentient being is the basis of the Bodhisattva way. In the Hinayana or the Theravada, you see, there's no Bodhisattva. That is, we practice only for the enlightenment, for the deliverance of ourselves only. For other people, we try to help them, but then if we cannot, that's up to them. We leave it to the karma. But for the Bodhisattva, we try to make, to give the benefit to all sentient beings. And to give the benefit to all sentient beings, there is no better method than the four methods of conversion. In Vietnamese, we call them Tứ Nghiệp Pháp. Go to the main subject, definition. These are the four practical methods to bring people to Buddha teachings. What are these four methods? Giving, kind words, profit, and go together. So these are the four methods to bring the people to Buddha teaching. Some people know, even in Mahayana, they call so-called Mahayana, but they try to convert people. They try to bring people to the temple, to the practice, to their congregation. That is a way of conversion too. Not really conversion, a false conversion, but they try to bring people to Buddhism. How do we do it? By these three methods. The aspect of the four methods. First, the donation. Donation means giving. Giving. The first way to bring people to the Buddhism is to give. The donation. Now, if we don't know much, we say, they try to extort some money from us, right? Or they try to get us to open our wallet. Not really. We have to learn. Donation. The troubles in the society arise usually from selfishness. We learned about that before, right? So if we think that we try to gather everything to ourselves, we will be too selfish. And then if everyone in the society think the same, the society cannot function. Because you see, the basis of society is to live together. And to live together, we have to make some sacrifice. Buddhism is a religion of compassion, and the greatest sufferings of humans are material inadequacy, spiritual obscurity and the fears of death, misfortune. So the fortune of the trouble in society arises usually from selfishness. We already know about that. Now, the Buddhism is a religion of compassion. That is the religion of the Bodhisattva. That is the way of the Bodhisattva, not the way of Theravada. Be careful, because whenever you go on the web, you try to learn something about Buddhism. So then you say that Buddhism is the religion of deliverance, of self-enlightenment. So whatever other people do, you know, they can do it for themselves. We cannot force them to do it, but then we can help. We have learned before, right? Of compassion. Compassion means, what is compassion? Come in together. Compassion means that something which make you like it, or make you well, like you have a passion with something, for something. Compassion means together, you have the same passion. Compassion just means that, basically, you know, it means that. But basically, you know, when you hear about compassion, you think that, well, we have a pity of them, or, but not really. Compassion means that you think the same, like the other one. You have the same feeling, I think. So compassion means that you and the other people, you know, go in the same way. That is compassion. That means that, you know, you think about nearly the same, not completely, because otherwise, you know, it would be identical. It's not identical. But you think the same. So religion of compassion. And the greatest suffering of humans are material inadequacy. First, material inadequacy. Inadequacy means lacking of something. Like, I don't have enough money, I have only one shirt, or I have only one jacket, I need another one. I don't have a car, my car is broken. So, material inadequacy. Of course, we see that, basically speaking, theoretically speaking, nobody has never had enough of anything, because we always want more. So material inadequacy. But some people, you know, might not even have the basics for subsistence. That is, see, like at lunch we don't have anything to eat. That is real inadequacy. Now the second thing, the suffering of the human is the spiritual obscurity. In other words, ignorance. Ignorance does not mean that we don't know anything, but we don't know the real thing, the right thing. We might know, but we know the wrong way. That is also spiritual obscurity. See, if you know the wrong way, if you know only the wrong way, we cannot live good enough. Or we will think bad. Like you remember about the anger or the greed. If you think that the self is too important, or somebody will say something and we think that it hurt us, it makes us like an animal or something. So we try to go back after them, try to kill them. That's a spiritual obscurity, that's ignorance, because we don't understand that. And the fears of death, misfortune. Well, that is the fear. So basically the three things. First, in other words, we say that the greatest of suffering of humans, we have three. Poverty, that is, you know, the being poor, lacking something, materially speaking, spiritually speaking, ignorance, and the third thing, the fear. Sometimes you don't understand much about the fear, because if you don't have enough responsibility, you don't understand it yet. But people who are responsible have a lot of fear, because they must be aware of all the adversities. If you never be poor, you go home, somebody cook for you, you have food always, you expect always, you know, to have something, you are not afraid. But people, you know, who don't have a steady job, like what they call by the seasonal workers, they don't have a steady income. They don't know, you know, when can he get some money, or where will he eat. So then they are very afraid. People who are like refugees, people like you see in the TV now, people in Darfur, in Senegal, right? These people, they are very afraid. They can be killed any time. They are refugees in the camps, and the people who are against them can come into the camp and kill them any time. So this is the fear. the fear of death. Of course, people are afraid of death and of misfortune also. Like if you say that, oh, the money will be devalued, or this company will close down, they will lay us off. So if your parents are working and they hear something like this, they are afraid. They come home, they can't be happy. So you see, basically, with the suffering of human can be divided in three things. The material, which is like being poor. The spiritual, which is like ignorance, does not know what is good, and the fear. So we have three ways to combat the suffering. First, the wealth, to fight against the material inadequacy. The Dharma, that is Buddha teaching, against the ignorance, and the fearlessness against the fear, like we just said. The wealth means the money, of course, because money, you know, is representative of some kind of value. That is, we can exchange it for some goods. The foods for eating, the clothing, the medicine, the shelters, that's the wealth. If you have all of these, you are so-called wealthy. You have a lot of money, you have a lot of food, you have a lot of clothing, you have good health insurance, and you have a big house. They call you wealthy. The Dharma. Dharma means the teaching of the Buddha. The teaching on the practice or the redirecting people to goodness also. Dharma does not mean only the Buddha's teaching. Because the Dharma means everything in life, if you learn more about that. But basically it's Buddha teaching, because Buddha teaching is a good thing. So the teaching and also the practice. Because you say something, you say like, oh, I don't know anything to teach. I don't know enough to teach. I don't even understand why do you bow like this or things like this. How can I teach any people? But you can, you see. That does not mean that you have to attempt to go to class or to open something. But just to practice. Like you say, you meet someone, you get the palm together and you bow, and you smile. That's it. That's practicing. And that's the teaching also. And some people who are like angry or who are afraid, they see you, they might feel a little bit happier. Or even redirecting people to goodness. Like you see someone who do some bad thing, you just say, oh, don't do that, or like that. So whenever you do, you say something like this, you are teaching them. So it does not mean that you need to be a monk or something to give the gift of Dharma. To give the gift of Dharma does not mean that you have to give money to bring the sutta. Does not mean that only that you have to become a monk or something, or go into the course. No, you just know, practice good. That's also a way of giving. And the third thing, the giving of fearlessness, material and spiritual. People are afraid of being dead, right? So if they are sick, you come to visit them, you try to help them go to hospital and get some treatment, or like in the time there was no hospital, you give them some medicine. Or like a spiritual, they are afraid of losing the job. Bring them, you know, to get some job, or to bring them to somewhere where they can get some help. So we have the donation. We can have the three things, right? Donation of material, donation of the Dharma, the teaching, and donation of the fearlessness. That is help to console people. Not only give them the way, you know, so they cannot be fearful anymore. So if you save someone from it, you are giving, you make some donation. The highest form of donation is Dana Paramita, that is giving for deliverance. Not knowing the giver, the receiver, and the donation. This is what we call by the three species of stream and void of giving. Now, you might not understand much about that, I try to explain. Now, when we donate, that is, when we give out something, that does not mean that, like, you know, you give something to the baker, you just write a check and you throw some money. That is also something. But then, you know, you give some money or give out a check and say, hey, remember to send me the receipt, right? Or you send me a form so I can fill out the tax form next year. It's also right, it's good, but it is not Dana Paramita. Paramita is the the traveling from one shore to the other one. That is the word, the Sanskrit word from the House Sutra. You remember this, the mantra of the House Sutra? Gate gate paragate parasamgate bodhisattva. So paramita is one of these. Paramita is the way to help people to go to this, from this shore to another one. That is from the ignorance to the enlightenment. And dana means giving, donation. You have the six paramita for the bodhisattva. The bodhisattva, when we learn about that later in the next course probably, we learn about the six paramita for the bodhisattva. The first one is the dana paramita. The second one is sila. Sila means to keep the precept. We learn about that later. But basically in here, we see that the donation, whenever we help someone, we need to do the three things. We need to gather all three things while giving. Not knowing the giver, not knowing the receiver, and not knowing the donation. Okay. That is, I want to give the temple some help. I have $1. And if I go to people in the temple and say, hey, this is my dollar, please accept my donation. And she say, thank you. This is not the only paramita. And if I give it worse, like, you know, I give $1 and they say, give me the receipt, please. That's another thing. We can do it. That's legally. Legally, she has to give us a receipt. But it is not paramita. Paramita means you don't know what is, who is the one who give. Like you give someone to someone. You don't think that I am the one who work, you know, like 20 minutes for this dollar. Now I give this to you. So you think that you are the receiver, the giver. That's one fault. The second one, you think that you give this to this person or to this man. This is a poor man, this is a bad person. You put it in. You don't insult anyone, but then you know that I am the giver and I give to this beggar. These two things, not right. And then you say, so this is $1. So three things, not right. Whenever you give, try not to remember or to think that you are the same with everything in the love world. You are the receiver, you are the giver, you are this money. You are everything. You understand what I mean, right? That is, if you think that you are everything, you don't see that you make some benefit or you give out some favor to other one. Because a lot of people in the world, whenever they give out something, they expect to be recompensed later. That is, they try to do some favor to someone. And the other guy or the other person is expected to give him back some favor. So the dana paramita means whenever you give, you just forget about it. You don't know that you are the giver. You are the someone else is the receiver. And what did you give? Like, you know, you say, oh, this is $100 bill. That's big. You see? Hey, this $100 bill, this is not only $1. See? $100. Write it down for me. Or put it out. Put it out. Where is your table? Put it out here. John Doe, $100. Right? That is not right. Okay, you have the right to do it. And in fact, you see, a lot of people know in the world, when they ask for money, they try to lure people, even in the temple, to do it. Like, if you give $500, I will make a plaque, put your name on the wall. Or if you give $5,000, I give you a bronze, you know, with some, something, amulet or something. Right? Yeah, you heard about that. But this is not paramita. This is only something, advertisement. They try to lure people into giving them more money. This is not paramita. So in the world, they say here, three spaces of stealing and void of giving. That is, in Vietnamese, they call them tam luân không tịch. You'll hear about it later. Tam luân không tịch means the three spaces of stealing and void of giving. You do anything, you understand the paramita, you have to have all these three things. The three spaces, the giver, the receiver, and the material which is given out. All these three things are void and still. You see them like nothing. You don't recognize them. You see them like exactly like nothing at all. Void. So if you see it, see the giving is like this, you have a paramita. You practice the paramita. That's the practice of the bodhisattva, the real way of giving. So we pass through the first one, the donation, right? The four method of conversion, that is, you know, to bring people to us, not really conversion, to the teaching of the Buddha. That is, you know, the good way. Second, there are kind words. Kind words mean, in the world, in Vietnamese world, they say it, lovely word. Lovely word. Lovely speech. Lovely speech, you know, does not mean like some politician who try to get some vote from you. They try, you know, to make you feel good. But the kind words is to adapt speech according to the level of listener. At this level, you say, okay, so there's no difference from the politician. Whenever they want to get some vote from you, they should just, you know, sprout up, and then, you know, they try to make you feel good about anything. After that, after you, they get a vote, they disappear. So adapt speech according to the level of listener means that whenever you practice Buddhism, we already know that we have the four default of the speech. We just learned about that, the four default. Basically to lie, to brag, to embellish the word, to insinuate, to curse. So try to avoid all these. But you have to adapt the speech according to the level of listener. Like, if you never learn about Buddhism, and I'm talking about the Dhanaparamita, the higher form of donation, you might think, oh, what is he talking about? If they say that I have to give some money to build up a big temple, now they don't, he say that, well, I'm not supposed to give out some any money, or I can give one money, and $1 is as good as $5,000. So how can they build the temple? You have this question. So we have to adapt the speech according to the level of listener. That is, like, if you go to school, if you go to school, in American school, they teach you something. When you go home and your parents, you know, try to make you do the other way, in another culture, or things like this, if you are not really happy with them, there will be a conflict. So they try to adapt you. Like most of your friends, when they go to school, they just, you know, say, hi mom, bye mom, and go to school. That's good. Bye mom, bye dad. That's good enough. But if they say, hey, see that? Have to do like this. Dạ thưa mẹ con đi học. Dạ thưa ba con đi học. I don't think that you'll be happy with that, right? And you'll be surprised because all of your friends, they don't do that. How come, you know, you have to do this? If she wants to, or they want to do like this, they come back to Vietnam. And you think like this. Probably you don't say it, but you think inside like this. Right? So the parents, you know, it's the duty of the parents to try to adapt to your level. That is, they go to American school and they teach like that. That's good enough. This world, this is 21st century. If they come home, they say, hi mom, that's good enough. Instead of just going, where's my dinner? Right? So then, you know, that you have to adapt to the level. Because if you don't adapt to the level, you can communicate together. We will go through this, you know, and the second, and the next one too. But we go together. You have a friend, right? Who is your best friend? You understand? I don't want the name. You just say that you think, and you see that the best friend is the one who probably think alike or act alike. Because the one, you know, who don't act like you or who don't think your thinking, you might not be able to associate with him or her. Try to remember. Like, you have an Xbox. You play some Xbox. And this other guy, he come on and always, you know, talks about the PS3 or PS2. You don't have the game for PS2. You don't want the PS2. Or if you like music, and you dig, you know, in like a salsa, the other guy, they know, they go with country music. Now, you can understand the country music. So, can you go together? Probably not that much, right? So, this one, adapt speech to the level of the listener is the same thing. That is, if you want to talk to someone who really like rock music or new things like You have to wear clothes like them. You have to talk like them. Hey, you. Hey, you. You are right. But you cannot just say, yes, sir. How are you today? How do you do? Or, right? You cannot stand them. Well, you cannot associate with them. Try to adapt the speech according to the level of listener. It's the same thing, the other way also. That is, if you think you try to talk or to communicate with your parents, you try to adapt to their level also. You must know that, well, they were living still, you know, in the 20th century. This is 21st century. So you try not to understand their thinking. Right? Because if you don't, there will be conflict. Because if you think that, oh no, everything is 21st century now, you must remember that there are still a lot, millions, billions of people who are still living in the 20th century. Right? So then, you know, try to, whenever you talk to them, try to adapt to the level of their thinking. And avoid criticizing, very important. You have a good friend, the best way for you is not to criticize them. Criticizing means that you think that if this is right, the way he's thinking is wrong. You have to speak it up. Somebody, you know, cannot keep the mouth shut. If you cannot say good thing, don't say it. That's the best way. You remember we learned about the four things of the mouth, the 44 of the speech. So if you cannot say something good, don't say it. That is, you know that this guy is dumb. Really, he's really stupid. But don't speak up. Just stupid. You're idiot. Well, of course, you know, he's idiot. He's stupid. But saying it does not mean that, you know, he becomes smarter. How can he become smarter if you keep on calling him stupid? So just think that he's really stupid. How can I make him, you know, become less dumb now? And then you try, you know, to convert him like this. And if you keep on saying that, 5 plus 5 equals 7. 5 plus 5 equals 7. You have 5 fingers, right? Look at this. You don't say, oh, you're stupid. No. Say, you see 5 fingers? Now you have 5 more fingers. Now you count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. How much? 10. Oh, 10. Oh, right. Right? That's better than you say, he might know. But then, you know, nobody wants to be called stupid. Or nobody wants to be called dumb thing. So avoid criticizing. Even there are ways to convert people to say that, well, your way of thinking, of doing things, you know, is not right. But don't say it right away. Because some people might be very angry, especially when you become parents. Some parents, you know, don't understand that. And some kids, you know, do something, they say, "Babe, sit up, don't do that. You humiliate me, you humiliate the whole family. When I was your age, I never did that." Of course, he never had the same thing. Right? Like, you know, you crush it into the car, and then say, "Hey, when I was small, I never..." But Dad, you didn't have the car at the time. Whenever you say back like this, it's not right either, right? You say that, "I was careless. Next time, though, I'll be more careful." That's it. Avoid criticizing. That means kind words. Kind words does not mean that, "Oh, you're so pretty today. Oh, what did you put on? What kind of cream do you use?" No, you don't have to ask a thing like this. Say a thing like this. This is fake. But kind words just mean that, try to understand them. Because when you adapt to their level of thinking, you can understand them. You can communicate with them. Second thing, avoid the criticizing. That's very important. Because whenever you go up in life, whenever you go to university, to college, and go later on to work, the most common mistake of people is criticize. Whenever you criticize someone, even a little or a lot, people will feel hurt. Very important. Remember that. Avoid criticizing. Criticizing means that you show them the mistake. There is ways to show the mistake, right? But criticizing means that you expose their mistake like this. And usually, you remember, people have the self. So then they don't like this to be exposed. They don't like to think that they are inferior. So try to avoid criticizing. Use the way, like I just told you about the 5 plus 5, right? Nicely. The third method of conversion is the profitable action. That is a lot high. Profitable action. I try to translate this word. But basically what they come by doing something beneficial or profitable for other people. Because people like to get good things, to get, you know, more due to their greed. Now, if we don't practice the paramita or we're not Buddhist, this is the way to lure people. Like you say, okay, come here, $10 free. $10 free. You go and you try to buy something. Even if you don't really need it, or even if you have to spend too much money on it. But in Buddhism, profitable action means that you do something which can make other people get more. Get more of what? The thought, the speech or action beneficial to sentient beings. So not only the action, but also the thought and the speech. If you want to convert someone, that is, you know, to bring someone to the same thinking like you, or to show them the good way. Thought, speech or action, even speech, you see, speech or action, and thought, even the thought, you don't think bad about people. That is very important, because my experience is that most of the time, whenever you think bad about someone, you might be wrong. People are not that bad. And then, whenever we think, we try to be subjective, we think according to our way of life, that is, you know, to our thinking. We have to do things like this. Like you just like you took an example. If you like you play the Xbox, right? You think that, oh, Xbox is good, it's super. So people who play PS2, they just waste their money. There's no reason for them to stand out in line like this. In fact, you know, buy something with Blu-ray. How can they buy some DVD for Blu-ray? There's not many of them. Or if they want to record on it, how can they do it? And besides, you know, your TV, you know, is not high definition. You cannot watch that anyway. Do some speech or action beneficial to sentient beings. Like the example of the keeping earth bodhisattva. This is the bodhisattva in the sutra, in the Lotus Sutra, and in other sutra too. This one, Vietnamese, they say Chi Nhiệm Bồ Tát. Whenever we say the sutra of the universal law, Ki Phổ Môn, when we say it, we meet with this bodhisattva. What does he do? He always, you know, try to be a bridge to cover the earth, that is, to repair the roads, and he helps also the old people to carry the stuff. Whenever he sees somebody, you know, to carry some cart, to pull some cart, he tries to help them for nothing. And he just went away. So this, you say that, well, this is in the in the fable. No, not really. Because nowadays you know that there are some volunteer who do some work, right? Like, you know, some medicine from San Francisco, the Doctors Without Borders, they go, you know, to Africa, to some country, in war, and they try to help them. And all the people, you know, give money, like the CARE people, the Hope Project, there are a lot of them. The Amnesty International, these are all, you know, organizations which employ people. You can volunteer for these too, because you can do some good things for the sentient beings. Sometimes you think that, oh, I cannot do anything. I'm only a student, I can't do it, but you can help. You can help a lot of people. Like even in Amnesty International, that is an organization, you know, to promote this free speech for all of the people in the world. Because you know that you live in America. This is a very free country. That is basically, you know, your rights are respected. But in other countries, a lot of other countries, you can be imprisoned, you can be kicked, you know, you can be killed for nothing. They just don't like your face, and then that's it. Yeah, that's true. You'll be surprised. See, so then, you know, some people who are in this country, and whenever they speak up, they say like, oh, this cop, you know, he's trying to take a bribery. Oh, they put them in jail, and they beat them, they torture him the right way. Amnesty International, what they do is they don't do anything bad. They just write the people, write the government in this country and say that, I heard that this man or this woman has been imprisoned because they speak up. They just say that something was not right in your country. So I beg you to put them on trial, regular, and stop the torture. of these people. That's true. Because you must have what they call by the human rights. At least, you know, the basic one. You have the right to free speech and things like this. You remember when you learn at school. So the profitable action, like your small, you can do anything. You just, you know, click on the internet. I send this letter to the president Hu Jintao or to someone to say that, well, this man, this woman, you know, is still in jail without trial. If you think that this guy, you know, did something wrong against the law, put them on trial, fair trial. If not, release them. So we can do it. Stories of keeping Earth Bodhisattva. Now, if you can go for whenever you go to school in the United States, it's a free country, but it's a very Buddhist country. Be surprised, right? Because you say that it's Christian, but they really practice Buddhism. They really practice the Buddhist teaching. Whenever you go to school, especially to college and university, they will ask you for some work. Community service. You heard about that? You have, you know, to fill out like 50 hours or something. You have to do the community service. Why? Because you do them free for your community. So this is what in Buddhism we call profitable action for other people. And you act like this bodhisattva of keeping the earth. Now you can have 5 jobs. That's easy, right? Some people, you know, can fill out some form and you just pick up the phone. You ask, hey, do you have some job opening? I have a guy who was out of work. You help them. Or building bridge, vocational school also, if you have money later. That is the profitable action, the third way of bringing, of conversion. And the fourth one is to work together. Now, don't take it literally, because taking it literally means that you have to go the same work, to have the same job, right? And in fact, you know, some people thought like that, and that's wrong. Working together means you do the same thing like other people. Some people, you know, cannot do it, especially in the time of the Buddha or before. Like in last century, some people, if they are old people, they have to sit up. You know that, right? They have to sit in the separate table. Younger people or lower rung, they sit on another one. And lower people sit on the floor. Yes, you see, in the time, it's like that. If you are like the old people, the oldest one, you sit on the divan, right? And then the older one, lower one, sit lower. And then all the older people, they sit on the floor. If you say your parents were Vietnamese, try to read some book about that. And you see that some people are like that. They really discriminate against that. They have some kind of class. Now, whenever you work together, that means that you act like them. Even if you are a boss, you go to the same cafeteria and you eat with them. You don't ask your secretary to bring the food to your office. And some boss, you know, still do that. Some Korean TV series, yeah, watch them. Watch them and you see. They still act like that. Some big boss, you know, say here, and then the secretary bring it. The secretary does not only, you know, bring the paper or say, do the paperwork or help with the president, like in the United States. You never see like a Condoleezza Rice will bring coffee to President Bush, right? But in other countries, you know, they did that, and they still do. The secretary is supposed to bring the coffee to them, bring the tea, and even run out, you know, and get some food for them. Nowadays, you know, if you say that, we say, Mr. President, try to go to the cafeteria and eat like other people. Now, unless, you know, he's too busy working, in that case, you know, he can order a sandwich. It's like, you know, you go home, you're busy cooking, you can call for the pizza. No big deal. But you have to pay for it. And that's it. So working together means that, like, you go to the temple. You go to the temple, you see people eat. Go eat with them. Even one piece. Don't say, well, I don't like this one. I don't like this. There's no meat. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? No. It's there. Because if you keep on acting like, where's the beef, where's the fish? That is the easiest way, you know, to make people hurt you. Right? It's easy. You just eat something with them. Like you have some friends, they bring you some nacho, you don't like nacho, but okay, I have a piece. And you say, oh, I know, I don't like that much. Yeah, I prefer the chips, plain chips. So, but working together is like that. Like all the people who do something, you try to do with them. It's like people who pray, go pray with them. People who clean the floor, you ask them, auntie, you need some help, you try to help. It's better than, you know, bring to me, ooh, that's my feet wet. Incredible, right? if this auntie is your mom, you go home and then you see her. So try to work together. Working together means that. You go to school, it's the same thing. If they have some ball game, you try to go and then try to go. You help them. That's what they call by esprit de corps. And people like you better. And if you want to talk to them, you have to do things like this. Better contact and sharing also. They ask you not to go to lunch. Go to lunch with them once in a while. You don't have to go everywhere. Every time, like you say, oh, I don't have enough money, sorry for this time. But say here, right? At home, at school, at temple, like that. So working together does not mean only you have to go to the same work. But whatever they do, try to do with them. Try to help them with that. Or you know, act like you are together. So you remember the four aspects of conversion, right? The donation, being giving, the kind words, the action which are profitable, and the work together. So what are the benefits of these four methods? For the individual, for the family, and for the society. Individual transforms self, sowing good seed, easily accept and adapt to circumstance. First, transform self. It's easy. Because like I say, if you do the good things, you will become good. If you do the bad things, you will become bad. If you feel like you know, you're very generous, later on, whenever you become very rich, you can become like being gay or some other guy. You see, he's a philanthropist. He has money. He gets money, but then he give out to other people, give back to other people. Nobody asked him to do it. He can keep, he have $1 trillion, he can have a little bit more billions, no problem. And in fact, a lot of people don't have like that. But if you act like this later on, whenever you have something, you try to spread your wealth, you spread your good to other people too. So transform the self, and then you see something good. Like whenever you go home and you see the floor dirty, you just plug in the vacuum and try to clean it. You just don't ignore it. And sowing the good seeds. Sowing the good seed means that if you do the good things, you will reap the good thing. We already know that, right? So somebody you know, come to your house, like for example, to your house and then meet with your family and say, oh, this guy is very good. When will he grow up, I want him to be my son-in-law. So it's better than, ooh, this guy, you see. So you could see it easily accepted and adapt to circumstances. This is very important. And this is the most important thing for you guys now. Because later on, you will grow up. You will go to university, to college. You will have a job. You will have a work. You will start a family. You will have to go find some job. So do something. And interact with all the people. You see? Like me, you see, whenever I left Vietnam, I couldn't imagine that, you know, I can survive alone because from the birth, I always live with my family. So then, you know, if I'm out here with all these strangers, how can I react with them? How can I adapt with them? See? So if you don't try to do the good work now, easily accept and adapt to circumstances. Some people who come to the United States and they always think, oh, when can I go back to Vietnam? When I die, I go to Vietnam. When I was in Vietnam, I was like this. They cannot adapt to here, to this country. And that's bad for them. That spoils their life. If you can, you know, mingle with other people, if you are easily accepted by other people, you can adapt to anywhere. That is, like later on, you have to find a job, and you find a job, you know, in like Idaho. There are not many Vietnamese over there, no friend over there. But then if you get the paper, you say, I go over there. Then you get out and then you can meet with people. You adapt easier than other people. That's very important for you. Because if you cannot adapt to it, you will spoil your life. And accept also by other people. people who only speak the guide word, who never criticize anyone, well, will be accepted easily by other people. Familiar, of course, the family become peaceful, happy, kind, lovely. You never yell on someone, or you never curse. Well, family will be happier. And social, the society, you transform the society for better and erase the misconception of pessimism on Buddhist level. Okay, transform society for better, of course it is, because if you act good, the society will become good. At least in our part. But erase the misconception of pessimism among Buddhists. Because a lot of people, when they ask you, who are you? You say, I'm Buddhist. You say, well, Buddhist. Some people think that, oh, Buddhist. They just go and say, no more japa, no more japa, no more japa. Don't do anything good. Or just sit down like this and whatever they say, spoil, waste time. And then some people who don't do that, they say that, well, the Buddha always teach about suffering. Everything is suffering, everything is bad, not good at all. The world is temporary, illusionary. So you better know, you better go kill yourself. Because they say that, yeah, they have this kind of misconception. They say that, well, Buddhists are pessimists. But you see this, Buddhists are not pessimists at all. We love life, but we don't cling to the life. Whenever we have to let go. We just let go. Because you see that one life for us is just like, one bus stop. You get on the bus, and then whenever you go out, you get out. That's it. Whoever was on the bus with you, you just leave them. Yes, that's cruel, but it's the truth. Because I'm old, I know that. Conclusion. Most efficient method to improve society and social life. Based on benefiting sentient beings and aim for their happiness. These are four things, four methods. Doing your pháp, the giving, the kind words, the profitable actions, and the working together. First, giving our material for the needy. Easy to understand, right? Or teaching for the ignorant. As some people who have this kind of misconception for Buddhism, you just try to explain to them, well, we don't always pray. I mean, pray all the time. Do something else. Try to explain to them. But you have to learn, understand them. Explain to them. Teaching for the ignorant. And some people who do bad things, who don't believe in the karma, that is, don't believe in the law of cause and effect, they can do really bad things. Like, you remember when I was small, you used to play the cricket. You know the cricket? Cricket fighting. But in Vietnam, we have the small cricket, right? The cricket will and then you try to lure them to fight against each other. It's like cock fighting or dog fighting or even wrestling here in the United States, right? Boxing. But you use with the small things. Usually small kids, they don't have much toys to play, so they play with them. And if you are like now, you come to Vietnam and you see kids playing like that, you say, you need some toy, I give you some toys, some matchbox. Play with this, that's better. Try to convert them. You see, this matchbox good. Whenever you go up, you might get this car. This is a Hummer. See, this Hummer, cool car. So he liked the Hummer more than this cricket. Because why? Because I played the cricket before, I know. We have to keep them in a small matchbox. And they will die in a couple of days. No one can stay alive for long. That's very cruel. But kids play with them. And then whenever some cricket who lost the fight, what they did? They chop off the head. They pick the head off. They stick the toothpick in, and then they try to lure the other cricket to make them angry. You know it? It's like the cop fight. You cannot just put the cock in and then they fight each other. Some people have to spit the spirits, that is the real day, spit to the cock, and the cock get drawn like this. They fight everyone, fight against everyone. So the cruel things, you try to teach them. Teaching for the ignorance is also that. Not only you have to teach the Buddhism, I think, to just make them feel better, good, or teach them the good things. And courage for the fearful. Like if somebody is afraid, some old people, Like here in the nursing home, sometimes you do some volunteer work, go to the nursing home, and you see some old people, they just lying down like this, like a corpse. But if you try to talk to them, or try to speak to them, they might become happier, they might become alive again, because nobody talks to them. And they are very afraid, they lie here, there, but then they think, when I die, and when I die, what will I become? They are very afraid of that. Because you are not old yet, but sometimes when you become sick, I think you might be aware of that. And courage for the fearful. People who are afraid. I told you about this guy, Amnesty International. They were in jail. And then they can be killed easily. But if thousands of people in the whole world try to speak up, try to write the government about that, they cannot be ignored. And the government said, oh, a lot of people know about this guy. So we better not to throw him away. Courage for speaks nicely and avoid criticizing harshly. If you cannot speak a good thing, don't speak. Benefiting sentient beings, that is, do something for their benefits. If they need a job, ask for some job for them. Try to find some job for them. If you need an old lady living alone in the house, and then there was some storm and some branch fallen down. Old lady, do you want me to help you with this branch? Go and pull and clean up for her instead of letting her try to spend her money to hire someone, because they have limited income, the old people. See? So try to help them just like that. Blending in work, in action with others. Blending, I don't say working together, but blending in the work and in action with others. Without this method, we cannot practice loving kindness and compassion. You understand that, right? So even if you don't want to, you don't think that we need to pull people to it, we just do this to practice the loving kindness and the compassion, which is the basis of the Bodhisattva. We finish this lesson today. So, chắc thầy lại hồi hướng. Nguyện đem công đức này hướng về khắp tất cả đệ tử và chúng sinh đều chọn thành Phật đạo.